If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Last week we began a study, even as we began the life of this church, in looking at the I am statements that Jesus makes concerning himself in the Gospel of John. And we began by looking really at the place that we need the most, and that is the nourishment of our souls. And Jesus says, I am the bread which nourishes the soul. He says, I'm the bread of life. And if we want to be about something, we want to be about Christ. And so we want to continue to study and look and say, who does Jesus say he is? What does he call us to know of him? And so we get today to chapter 8. And Jesus tells the crowd, he says, I am the light of the world. But what in the world does that mean? There's some context that we will go over. But first, let's read our text. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. And this is God's word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the presence of your Spirit. We pray that you would give your people ears that we might hear what your Spirit says to the church. And God, that you would be willing to use a sinful man, a sinner, to point the narrow way to Christ Jesus. Open our eyes that we might see the light today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. It is universally known that light brings life and death brings darkness. In the parts of the world where the light shines the most consistently, those are the richest places in the world for plants and trees and crops and food. And when the sun shines in our part of the world, we get the best tomatoes and we get the best watermelons and we get the best peaches. And it comes from the light. Because when light shines, life springs forth. But in the parts of the world where the light doesn't shine, for months, nothing grows. Nothing develops or lives. The animals who do in fact struggle to live there have to huddle together in mass in order to live, or they have to hunker down in holes to simply get by the darkness, because there is no light. Nothing grows without the light. And when they dwell in spiritual darkness forever, Jesus says, you too will die. The religious leaders in the context of this passage are completely and totally blind, and yet they stand as though they have light, and they're saying, come and listen to us because we want to show you the light. And yet they are blind guides. They stand in darkness and declare that they have light, that they understand spiritual things, and John, the writer of this gospel, seems to wipe that away. And he says, only Jesus will point you to the light. So friends, our text this morning tells us that Jesus shines in the world that we may know the light of life. And our text teaches us three things: self-awareness, self-deception, and self-destruction. I want to start with self-awareness. Jesus possesses an awareness of himself that is not natural to humanity. Look at verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, when I say that self-awareness is not common to humanity, it is because the Bible teaches us that we're born in spiritual darkness. And Jesus says, apart from you, from me, you cannot open your eyes spiritually. You cannot see where I have not brought your eyes to see. And self-awareness, no matter how much we'd like to think of it as a trait of ourselves, this is not ordinarily a trait of humanity. I remember a guy that I knew in my mid-20s. And this guy unusually and regularly talked about his own powers of self-awareness, his own abilities to perceive not only himself but others around him. He often talked about the way others thought of him. And it was no irony lost on anyone when people around him would routinely feel as though he was arrogant and prideful. And in those moments, you wonder, how in the world does this guy remain so unaware? Well, self-awareness is not a trait that is common to human beings. But it is a trait that is common to the divine. It is a trait that belongs to God. Only the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God understands himself with complete clarity. And so, as readers, we have to stand back from this text and be very clear that this account with Jesus interacting with these religious leaders is an example of light penetrating into the darkness. Jesus knows himself perfectly. And he knows God the Father who sent him to earth perfectly. And he knows those to whom he is speaking perfectly. And to them he says, I am the light of the world. And very likely, he's the only one standing there who knows what he's talking about. He's the only one who even perceives his point. So what does he mean? Jesus means that in the darkness of sin, in its blinding nature over us, while laid bare before God's judgment and in need of salvation, Jesus alone steps forward front and center, and he, as light, penetrates the darkness and opens up our minds and our hearts. And then he seems to say, my light is available to any who would come into the light and receive me by faith. The Gospel of John is continual about this theme of light and darkness. And John is picking up Old Testament themes. We read two of them this morning from the prophet Isaiah. Even the place of worship, the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple, was situated with a lampstand in front of the mercy seat. And that was to show that the light of God must shine forth. And there is no way for man to see God except that God would shine forth his light and illuminate the darkened soul. And here he is, Jesus, the light of the world. But you'll notice in the text that those standing around want to squabble about who Jesus is. Look at verse 13. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Well, Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. The God-man has a complete self-awareness. And when Jesus, who is the Word of God, speaks, he says to the Pharisees, what I say about myself is true. And then he says, you don't have the eyes to see because you're standing in darkness. Friends, you would never trust a blind man to lead you to the light. I'm reminded of an old episode of Little House on the Prairie when Laura Ingalls Wilder's sister Mary says, I can see the light. And her parents begin to think that though she has been blind, she's beginning to come and be able to see. And so they take her to a doctor in the big city. She walks into the doctor's office and it is dark. And there is a light on one side of the room. And Mary walks to the other corner. She stands in the darkness and she says, I can see the light. And the pain of that moment is, there is no light there. You see, Jesus is saying that that's what's going on with the Pharisees. What I say about myself is true. And you are blind and you cannot tell others where the light is if you do not know me. College was a very important time for me to discern what I believed and why I believed it. But I can probably summarize for you 4 years of sanctification in one sentence. Personally, I held what I believed more firmly than why I believed it. And that is because I was blind to some very important things that the Scripture taught. I was more sure of my ability to see truth than I was willing to be informed by the giver of truth and His written word. And so I would judge constantly with eyes of flesh, which is what Jesus warns against in verse 15. I could and would and did argue with anyone and everyone about who God is, about what He is like, and much of it was tailored just to fit my blind eyes. Surely God allows this and doesn't allow this because that's the way I feel about it. Surely God would evaluate their sin as heavier than my sin because mine is more culturally acceptable. I cannot allow God to be sovereign over my salvation because I don't want God to be that way. And then from a posture of blindness, I would shout, I have sight. I see. And that's what the Pharisees do. Pharisee comes from a place of blindness. And that is where most of us are coming when we acknowledge everyone else's sin but not our own. When we believe that we have Jesus fully and completely figured out and there is nothing else to be known or to study. But Jesus alone says, I come from the Father and only I can give light to those who are unaware. And so Jesus shines as light in the world that we may know the light of life. He has perfect self-awareness. But I want you to listen, though, as He warns you against self-deception. When you look at this section of Scripture, it may be hard to see the self-deception of the religious leaders. But if you will glance back at chapter 7 in your Bible, pick up at verse 40. We don't even have to read the text. I just want you to see where this is in the text. There's a division that breaks out among the religious leaders and among those who are standing in the crowd. And the division breaks out because of expectations. Most people thought that when God told them in the Old Testament that He was sending light, they had read this Scripture to believe that there were two, that one was going to be a prophet and one was going to be a king. And they're standing there saying, who is the new prophet? Who is the new king? The Bible actually was saying, there is a prophet and a king who is coming. And the truth is that they stand there looking and they're confused because kings come out of Bethlehem, where David came from. And Jesus has apparently come from Galilee. But you know, as one who has read the Scriptures in the past, that Jesus is born in Bethlehem to fulfill the Scriptures. That also the Scriptures, in order to be fulfilled, brought Him out of Egypt, and Jesus lived in Egypt. You also know that He was raised in Galilee to fulfill the Scriptures that we just read this morning. And what do they say in 752? The blind influence of self-deception. The religious leaders say, search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. And what did we read in Isaiah chapter 9? In the latter time He has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You see, the Old Testament actually said, light is coming out of Galilee. The depth of the darkness that these religious leaders are standing under, the depth of the darkness of the human heart, these scholars who've been studying the Scriptures their whole lives, they miss it when the light is standing in their presence, when it's on full display, because He does not meet their expectations. Now come back to chapter 8, pick up at verse 15. Excuse me, verse 16. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it's written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Quickly, Jesus is saying, in my first coming, I did not come to judge the earth. I came to redeem the people of God. Now, make no mistake, He does promise to return and judge on His second coming. But here He says, God the Father and God the Son are speaking to you now, and you are self-deceived. Friends, there is always a danger for religious people to miss the testimony of God the Father and God the Son. Because our eyes are so easily blinded by the darkness of culture and by the darkness of our expectations. We're talking about people who had literally studied the Scriptures most of their lives, and yet when faced with the light, their eyes are more cultural than they are biblical. Their wisdom is more worldly than it is godly. Their expectations are more man-centered than they are Christ-centered. And so then what is the warning to us? If the people who stood and saw Jesus face to face were self-deceived, beware the danger of your own heart. Cultural expectations will almost always stand in our way of seeing Jesus clearly. I wonder if there are places in your mind or in your heart where the culture blocks your ability to see light. We can look back historically and we can see how some of our forefathers did this, how some would promote slavery with a loose reading of Scripture, and they might say, see, this is in the Bible. But where does our culture today speak and crowd out the light of Christ in your mind? Does the materialism of a successful place crowd out the light of Jesus in your life? What else does? Many of you have walked in the light for a really long time, and you can testify that only when you walk closely with Jesus through prayer and through study of His Word and through spiritual hunger, only when you walk closely can you see the self-deception of the darkness that wants to push against you. When you walk closely with Christ, you see that the very best and wisest understanding of man is never really good enough. The mature believer would tell you that your very best days are found in walking in a relationship of dependence upon Jesus. And everything culturally which says to you, no, live independently, everything that calls you to independence outside of the light of Christ is self-deception. I would encourage you not to ever believe that you have the Lord and His ways all figured out. And I want to encourage you, whether you are a new believer or a mature believer, do not ever stop coming to the light and leaning into the Word of God to know that which is revealed from God. And do not let the culture speak more loudly to you than God Himself does in His Word, Jesus Christ. Walk in the presence of the light through God's Word and His Spirit. And there you will not be self-deceived. Jesus shines as light in the world that we may know the light of life. He alone has perfect self-awareness. He alone can warn us about the self-deception. And finally, He says, beware of self-destruction. Now, the Bible teaches us, and you can see in this text, that self-destruction comes in two forms. The first one is the one that you're born into, and that's partly what Jesus is speaking to generally. Look back at verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so he's making an obvious implication that the Lord is Himself the only place of light, and everything else is spiritual darkness. Everything that you are born into possesses spiritual darkness. Eternal condemnation. Separation from God hangs over us like an ominous cloud. But Jesus is saying, I have actually pierced that darkness. And you might wander towards death, except that I am here shining. But when Jesus shines the light of His Holy Spirit into your soul, you gain eyes to see. And this light changes how you see everything else. You actually feel and know the warmth of Jesus illuminating your heart. And with new, warmed heart, with seeing eyes, you want to see God differently. And you want to seek God differently. And you want to reach out to God differently through Christ. But this new light also shapes how you view other people, how you treat other people, because the light influences your own vision of yourself and your vision of other people. The psalmist says in Psalm 36, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. When God shines the light of the world, Jesus into your soul, you see everything in reference to that light. And you recognize everything else is in darkness, but the Bible is very clear. There is no other illuminating power in all of the universe other than Jesus Christ. Only Jesus opens blind eyes. And so many unbelievers, so many new believers, even mature believers seek light from places and people and things that cannot give you light. And there is no shortage of false light. There is a pursuit of knowledge. There's a pursuit of degrees and expertise that makes us feel as though we are illuminating our own minds and our thoughts. And in this community, you will find people who even believe that their earnest pursuit of spirituality, of truth, is in itself a kind of light. There are other false lights that are far less sophisticated. And we often are good at seeing them in other people, but maybe not in ourselves. Sometimes people will want relationships to illuminate their soul. Sometimes people will want the approval of man to light up their eyes. Sometimes people will seek popularity as a sense of self-illumination. Here's what's happening. And here's what Jesus says. False lights almost always replace Jesus with self. And they attempt to light up you instead of Christ. And Jesus says, I am the light. You simply come to me and there you will have all that you need to illuminate your soul. And unless you follow Christ as your Savior and as your Lord and as your Master, you will grope around in the darkness and wander toward death. And so the Bible teaches that self-destruction comes in two forms. The first you're born into, which is what I've been talking about. But the second is the hardening of your heart. And if you look at the Pharisees in our text, you can see what we're talking about. The light of Jesus shines right in their midst. And instead of tenderly receiving Him through repentance and faith, they firm up. They harden their hearts. Verse 18. Jesus says, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, where's your Father? Now, when faced with Christ, you need to know that what's going on in the text is a real tone of sarcasm. Most commentators think that it's probably accompanied by a gesture of disdain. Where is your Father? As if he is a man who's going to come out of the crowd and say, yeah, I want to testify. He is actually the light of life. And so they stare at Christ. And they hear his word. And they hear his summons. And they hear his plea. And they harden their hearts, which is a warning to each and every one of us. The light of Christ shines. And the believer and the unbeliever alike, if you have been now enlightened by the light of Christ, do not harden your heart to His Word. Do you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit? If the Lord shines His light on you today, I want to encourage you to respond to that light. Repent and come running. Maybe He is nudging you to break with a particular sin. Friends, repent and come running to the light. Perhaps Jesus would show you that you have been walking too closely to the darkness, and He says, repent and run back to the light. Perhaps Christ encourages you today to forgive someone in a place that you have been unwilling to forgive, and He says, repent and run back to the light and forgive. Maybe you're being nudged to open God's Word and to read it. Would you obey the light and respond to it? Maybe you've neglected a regular involvement in the local church, and Christ would prompt you to come back to the light and to be a part of His fellowship and community. He says, repent and come running back to the light. You see, the Bible teaches us that we could do nothing about the darkness that we were born into, but we can do very much about the darkness that is around us when the light is being offered to us. Jesus shines in the world that we may know the light of life. Only do not harden your heart toward Christ. Just come running to the light, and here you will find life. Let's pray.